Welcome to the Space News Weekly Brief, where we bring you the latest updates, groundbreaking developments, and key insights shaping the future of space exploration and technology. I'm your host, AI Michelle, and this is a Magic Pod production by Podcast AI. Here are our top stories today. First, NASA has some good news about the asteroid that could hit Earth. Second, space exploration reaches an inflection point. Third, an old NASA mission reveals an unlikely world harbors an ocean. Fourth, Texas Instruments unveils space-grade gallium nitride field-effect transistor gate drivers for satellites. Fifth, Pakistan's moon mission, a giant leap or just a hitchhike. And finally, NASA strikes a deal to avoid mass layoffs, while Europe's moon plans are at risk as the Trump team reviews NASA's Artemis project. Let's dive into our first story. The chance that an asteroid capable of wiping out a city will hit Earth in 8 years has been cut in half to around 1.5%, according to new calculations from the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. This drop in odds had been widely anticipated by the global astronomical community, which now broadly expects the probability of the asteroid hitting Earth on December 22, 2032, to fall down to zero. For more than 24 hours, the asteroid did have the highest probability of hitting Earth, 3.1%, of such a big space rock in modern forecasting. Updated calculations posted by NASA late Wednesday said the odds of a direct hit had fallen to 1.5%. The European Space Agency's separate calculations also show a decrease to 1.38%. Richard Moisel, head of the ESA's Planetary Defense Office, mentioned that this was expected as the uncertainty region where the asteroid could strike starts to slip off Earth. Moisel added that the percentage chance will likely still wiggle slightly up and down a bit, but is now expected to soon fall below 1%. It remains to be seen whether this will happen before the James Webb Space Telescope turns its powerful gaze to the asteroid next month. There is still a 0.8% chance that the asteroid will hit the moon, according to NASA. The asteroid, known as 2024 YR4, was first detected in December. It is estimated to be around 40 to 90 meters wide, which would not cause a global catastrophe, but would still be capable of causing significant destruction to a city. The last time an asteroid of greater than 30 meters in size posed such a significant risk was Apophis in 2004, when it briefly had a 2.7% chance of striking Earth in 2029, a possibility later ruled out by additional observations. Today, we're diving into a pivotal moment in space exploration as the field reaches an inflection point. The term Moonrace 2.0 has been coined, reflecting the renewed global interest in lunar exploration and the competition to establish a sustained human presence on the moon. This resurgence is driven by both governmental space agencies and private companies, all racing to stake their claim in what some are calling the new frontier of economic opportunity and scientific discovery. Governments worldwide are ramping up their lunar missions with significant investments. The United States, through the Artemis program, aims to land the first woman and the next man on the moon by the mid-2020s. Meanwhile, China's Chang'e program is not far behind, having already landed rovers on the lunar surface. India and Russia are also making strides with their respective lunar missions, showcasing a truly international effort. Private companies like SpaceX and Blue Origin are also playing a crucial role in this new space race. SpaceX, for instance, is developing its Starship vehicle, which is designed to carry both cargo and crew to the moon and beyond. Blue Origin, founded by Jeff Bezos, is working on its Blue Moon Lander, which aims to support NASA's Artemis program by providing a reliable means of transporting payloads to the lunar surface. This surge in lunar activity is not just about reaching the moon. It's about the broader implications for space exploration. Establishing a presence on the moon is seen as a stepping stone for future missions to Mars and beyond. The moon's resources, such as water ice, could be vital for sustaining long-term human missions in space, and could even be used to produce rocket fuel for deeper space exploration. As we witness this new chapter in space exploration unfold, it's clear that the Moon Race 2.0 is more than a symbolic pursuit. It represents a significant shift in how we approach and invest in the cosmos. The coming years will be crucial in determining which nations and companies will lead the charge in this exciting era of exploration. New evidence from an old NASA mission supports the theory that Jupiter's moon Callisto is, in fact, an ocean world. A recent study suggests that Callisto, a moon about the size of Mercury, likely has a several miles deep ocean beneath its icy shell. This Jovian moon is the outermost of 95 moons orbiting the gas giant planet Jupiter. Back in the 1990s, NASA's Galileo spacecraft discovered something unusual about Callisto. The moon seemed to react to Jupiter's changing magnetic field. Scientists suspected that the presence of salt water, which can conduct electricity, might be causing these magnetic reactions, indicating a potential subsurface ocean. However, the existence of an ionosphere, a layer of electrically charged particles high in Callisto's atmosphere, left room for doubt. Now, researchers are more optimistic than ever that Callisto is among the pantheon of water worlds in our solar system. And where there's water, there's the potential for life as we know it. This optimism arises from a reanalysis of Galileo's data using advanced computer models and statistical techniques, revealing that Callisto's ionosphere alone could not account for the magnetic reactions. When researchers included the possibility of an underground ocean, the data aligned more convincingly. The findings were published in the journal AGU Advances and help support the ocean theory, suggesting that the ocean is locked beneath a solid ice shell that could be tens to hundreds of miles thick. This ocean likely wraps around a solid rocky core, making Callisto a close sibling to Europa, another of Jupiter's moons known for its potential ocean. Though the existence of an ocean on Callisto remains inconclusive, future spacecraft measurements could confirm whether liquid water is indeed present. NASA's Europa Clipper and the European Space Agency's Jupiter Icy Moons Explorer, known as JUICE, are expected to capture data during their flybys, potentially providing definitive answers. China's planned Tianwen-4 mission may also observe Callisto. If Callisto indeed harbors a salty ocean, it would join the list of places NASA is interested in exploring for signs of life. The presence of water, along with a rocky layer more than 150 miles beneath the surface, provides key conditions known to support life on Earth. Additionally, oxygen and hydrogen have been detected in Callisto's extremely thin atmosphere, further intriguing scientists about its potential habitability. In today's Tech Advances segment, we're spotlighting a major development from Texas Instruments, which has unveiled a new family of space-grade gallium nitride field effect transistor gate drivers designed for satellites. These drivers are set to revolutionize power system efficiency in space by supporting voltages ranging from 22 to 200 volts. This makes them the first of their kind to operate at such high voltages, providing significant flexibility for various satellite power systems. Javier Valle, the product line manager for space power products at Texas Instruments, highlighted the importance of these drivers in meeting the rising demands for on-orbit processing capabilities, precise imagery, and enhanced data transmission. With a broad voltage range, these drivers are suitable for low, medium, and geosynchronous Earth orbits, catering to all types of space mission requirements. One of the key advantages of Texas Instruments' gallium nitride FET gate drivers is their ability to improve performance by enabling faster rise and fall times for gallium nitride FETs. This enhancement reduces the size and weight of power supplies, thereby increasing power system efficiency and allowing satellites to make better use of the energy generated by their solar cells for mission-critical functions. Valle emphasized that the space industry has changed significantly, with missions now requiring products that are either radiation-tolerant or radiation-hardened for deep space exploration. Texas Instruments has developed these drivers using multiple radiation-hardened techniques to ensure they can withstand the harsh conditions of space, including total ionizing dose exposure of up to 100 kilorad. This makes them ideal for both low Earth orbit and deep space missions. The new gallium nitride FET gate drivers from Texas Instruments are designed to operate at higher switching frequencies, up to 5 megahertz. This capability allows for smaller passive components and higher power density, which is crucial for satellites where space is limited and thermal management is a challenge. With efficiency levels greater than 90%, these drivers represent a leap forward from traditional systems that operate in the 70 to 80% efficiency range. Vali also addressed the issue of inductive parasitics, which can pose challenges for high-performance systems. The design and packaging of these drivers reduce parasitic effects, ensuring high efficiency and minimal system losses. This focus on minimizing unwanted voltage spikes and losses is crucial for maintaining system integrity, especially in high-frequency applications. In conclusion, Texas Instruments' new gallium nitride FET gate drivers are set to play a pivotal role in the development of next-generation power systems for satellites. By providing flexibility, enhanced efficiency, and reliability, these drivers are paving the way for more ambitious space projects in the future. As the space industry evolves, these innovations will be instrumental in supporting the power needs of upcoming satellite missions and space systems. Pakistan's moon mission has been a topic of much debate and speculation. Is it a giant leap for the nation or merely a hitchhike on the coattails of other countries? The mission, which has garnered both national pride and international attention, is set to launch in collaboration with China's space agency. The partnership with China is viewed by many as a strategic move by Pakistan to advance its space capabilities. Through this collaboration, Pakistan aims to not only gain technical expertise, but also establish itself as a player in the global space arena. The mission is part of Pakistan's broader ambitions to enhance its scientific prowess and technological infrastructure. Critics, however, argue that Pakistan is relying heavily on China's technology and resources, which diminishes the mission's significance as an independent achievement. They assert that without significant indigenous contributions, the mission risks being seen as a mere extension of China's lunar endeavors. Proponents counter that the collaboration is a pragmatic approach, allowing Pakistan to leapfrog years of development by leveraging China's established space technology. This could potentially open doors for future independent missions and partnerships with other nations. As Pakistan prepares for its lunar journey, the mission is being closely watched by neighboring countries and the international space community. Whether it is viewed as a giant leap or a hitchhike, the mission marks a significant step in Pakistan's space exploration journey and could have lasting impacts on its scientific and technological landscape. In a significant development, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration has confirmed that it may have averted the extensive layoffs that were anticipated this week, potentially saving the jobs of hundreds of newly hired employees and career professionals. In a statement, NASA announced that it worked closely with the Office of Personnel Management to conduct a comprehensive evaluation of its workforce and mission requirements. As a result of these discussions, NASA determined that any job cuts for probationary employees, typically those hired within the past year, will be performance-based or voluntary in accordance with agency policy. This approach contrasts with directives at some other federal agencies, where probationary employees faced across-the-board cuts. NASA emphasized its commitment to maintaining a high-performing workforce, stating, "The agency will continue to monitor all employee performances and take swift action as appropriate with any issues, ensuring American citizens have an excellent and efficient workforce at NASA." Despite these measures, approximately 5% of NASA's workforce accepted offers under a deferred resignation program. This initiative, implemented by the Trump administration, incentivizes federal employees to step down from their roles in exchange for being paid through September. This group includes a small subset of probationary employees. Given NASA's nearly 18,000 employees, this means roughly 900 workers may have taken the offer. However, concerns have been raised about the potential impact on patents and intellectual property, if NASA employees leave their positions but remain on the agency's payroll for the coming months. The potential for widespread job losses among probationary employees had caused alarm within the space community. Casey Dreyer, the head of space policy at the Planetary Society, expressed concern over the indiscriminate dismissal of upwards of 1,000 scientists, engineers, and explorers at NASA, which he said would be the largest workforce reduction since the end of the Apollo program. Dreyer highlighted the contrast between the current situation and the Apollo-era layoffs, noting that while NASA was winding down a moon program back then, it is currently ramping up the Artemis program. This initiative aims to return astronauts to the lunar surface as soon as mid-2027, according to NASA's latest timeline. Unlike the Apollo program, NASA plans to outsource much of the work on the Artemis program to the private sector through fixed-price contracts. Dreyer acknowledged that the Planetary Society is not advocating for an increase in NASA's headcount or suggesting that workforce reductions are unnecessary. However, he emphasized the blunt, non-strategic, indiscriminate nature of the potential firings, which he believes could hinder NASA's progress on its plans. As we delve into our policy and industry segment, a significant development is unfolding with potential implications for Europe's lunar ambitions. The European Space Agency's plans for the moon are facing uncertainty as the Trump administration conducts a review of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration's Artemis project. This review could impact the timeline and partnership dynamics of the Artemis program, which aims to return humans to the lunar surface by the mid-2020s. The Artemis program, a cornerstone of NASA's lunar exploration strategy, involves international partnerships, with Europe playing a critical role. The European Space Agency has committed to providing service modules for the Artemis missions, which are essential for the transportation and support of astronauts on their journey to the moon. However, the Trump administration's scrutiny of the Artemis project could introduce delays or modifications to the program. This has raised concerns among European partners who are eager to solidify their contributions and ensure the success of the missions. The review is part of a broader evaluation of NASA's budget and priorities, which could reshape the agency's approach to lunar exploration. European stakeholders are closely monitoring the situation, as any changes could affect their plans and investments in lunar technology and infrastructure. As the review process unfolds, it remains to be seen how it will influence the collaboration between NASA and the European Space Agency. The outcome could have far-reaching effects on the timeline for returning humans to the moon and the role of international partners in this historic endeavor. This situation underscores the interconnected nature of space exploration in the modern era, where international cooperation is pivotal to achieving ambitious goals. Both NASA and its European counterparts are navigating a complex landscape of policy and funding decisions that will shape the future of lunar exploration. All right, that's a wrap for this episode. If you enjoyed this brief and would like to stay updated on latest episodes, don't forget to click follow in your podcast app. Thanks again for listening, and hope to catch you next time.